So what kind of, in everything that you've done over the last few years, what has sort of stuck out in your mind as a great memory or something that you're really proud of?
In the last couple of years, I feel like we have just really had a great momentum going. Lots of positive energy, lots of new members, people hearing more and more about us in the neighborhood. Our PR person, we actually have a lady who, she does the Heights Life blog, Beulah Torgerson.
Yeah,
is a member of the club, and we courted her until she finally joined, and she is full of energy and now very active, well connected. Yes, she does our Facebook page and our PR that we do for our events and things. She'll write up stuff and submit it to the leader and whatever is necessary. And so I just think, you know, really the getting more visible in the community and the marker was huge. I mean, I have to say that was Ann Sloan working on that for years, a couple of years in the making, getting that done.
That, did you attend that ceremony?
Mm-hmm.
It looked like, just from what I've seen, that it was a great kind of community that brought in a lot of people.
It did. We had we even had some a council member here. I forget which one it was, but lots of people who had been members over the years, and just various people with the Houston Heights Association, the city, and of course the state historical registry, or I forget what exactly it's called, but lots of really positive press and just a really good feeling that that we really saved a little piece of history.
Absolutely.
You know, and you think about what the women accomplished, and they didn't even have the right to vote, and they managed to pull all of this together. It's pretty inspiring.
Do you know anything about when the land was actually donated by Mrs. Cooley? Because what I've seen is, of course, women didn't have property rights. That's one of the things the club really fought for. So kind of how that was able to happen.
It's unclear, and I imagine that Mr. Cooley really did the donating on behalf of Mrs. Cooley. My understanding is it was around 1910 that the land was donated, because there's some dispute among the heritage group and the evening group as to when but the clubhouse was built in 1912, so that's what we're celebrating, the clubhouse. But I think the land was donated in 1910. And how they did that, I'm not sure. There is a one of our events is and I guess it's a charity sort of I don't know what you would call it exactly, but it's our Hortense Ward appreciation. It's turned into a dinner. It used to be a luncheon, but we award Texas School of Law. It's South Texas, I think, is the college. And a scholarship. It's really not a scholarship. It's a gift of $500 for, and we allow the school to pick a female student who has shown that they are very active in furthering women's causes and in their community, and have already done that in a recent graduate of the graduation. Because usually they're taking tests when they're coming for the dinner. But Hortense Ward was she was a lawyer. She wasn't actually a member of the club, but she helped charter the club. And she was, I think, the third female ever to pass the Texas bar. And
I didn't realize she wasn't actually a member of the club.
I don't think there's no record that she was actually a member. I could be wrong about that, but after reading it over and over again, it Ann would be able to answer that. Now, when it comes to history,
right.
Take Ann's word for it. Don't take mine. If I've contradicted anything, she'll correct me.
And no worries.
But
how many members are there right now?
We have about 140 right now.
Okay.
So it was less than 100 when I joined.
Mm-hmm.
So you know we're doing really well.
Are there membership requirements? Do you have to live in the greater Heights area?
We have no, and we're not a service club, so to speak. It's just a social club. We are seeking our nonprofit status based on our community service work and the fact that we're, you know, scraping by to just save the clubhouse and then the historical aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been waiting for 12 months to hear that can take up to 18, I think.
I've heard it's a hassle.
Yeah, so I think we'll get it. I think it's just stuck in somebody's, imagine sitting in a pile somewhere. But the question was
about any requirement membership.
Oh, no, we don't. It's the day group or the heritage group requires sort of a referral, I think, which is back from the olden days. But for us, if you want to write us a check for $100, you may never darken the doorstep again. We don't care. We would love for you to be involved, obviously, and especially when it comes to, everything is on a volunteer basis. So. Even our general meetings, you know, somebody brings the food and the wine and the decor, if there is any, and, you know, I'll bring a door prize to auction off just to try to get people to show up for the, you know, the business meetings are a little drier. But we usually try to have some fun and, we'll speaker or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I would imagine, too, especially since it sounds like there are a number of the ladies that are also part of the kids club, the neighborhood kids club, and I would imagine there's a lot of camaraderie, really, amongst everyone, as you're growing and building.
Yes,
a good sense of camaraderie together.
And change is hard. You know, it hasn't been all rosy.
Mm-hmm.
There's because obviously, you know, we're as the evening group. We're very sensitive to not wanting the heritage group to feel like we're swooping in and forcing change on them. So we try to be very respectful of each other. And even though I think the evening group really is responsible for we'll put more money into maintaining the club and so forth. They still do their part, and they're growing as well. You know, a lot of the evening group members have joined their group, which is, I'm hoping one day that it just sort of evolves into one thing, because their group meets once a month, October through May. So it's really, it could just be like the luncheon, the ladies who lunch, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. But it would be nice if it were, it would be less complicated.
Mm-hmm. How often does the evening group meet?
The evening group meets, we have, the bylaws state that we have at least 3 general meetings a year. We try to do 4 just to keep people on their toes.
Mm-hmm.
And, so we just had one in November, I think.
It's interesting because originally, my understanding was they were once a week. It was a very different life back then to be able to get together once a week and do all these things in the group.
Yeah, so, and then another point, you know, obviously the heritage group, no one really works in that group. Or, I wouldn't say that. I mean, you could get away for lunch, but they meet it from 10:30 to 12 or so once a month. But in the evening group, we have a lot of people who have professional careers, and that's why we meet in the evening.
Oh, absolutely. obviously.
You know, families and children and
activities. Yeah. Do you know about what the age difference between the groups is? I'm sure there's a little bit of overlap there.
Yes, and we, like I said, we have a lot of members who have joined the day group, mm-hmm. And vice versa. And say more on the, you know, the evening group going to mm-hmm. the lunches than the other. But, gosh, I was just at the Heritage Group Christmas party. I'd say their average age is over 60.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they've, well, Sylvia was sitting here at the table. She's 92 years old.
Oh.
Melvin's over 80. And over 70.
That's right. Yeah.
She, and you wouldn't know it. Mm-hmm. You know, she's fit as a fiddle.
So do you think, is that the oldest member, the, Sylvia?
Sylvia, she probably is. Mm. We just had someone pass away last week, and she was a member of both groups.
Oh,
and I actually knew her. She was a member of my church also, over at St. Mark's. But it is, you know, it's... I was helping wash dishes after the Heritage Group meeting the other day, and, you know, one of the ladies, she was probably 70, mm-hmm. you know, and she was in there drying, and I was washing, and she, and they were, you know, just chatting, and it's just, and Melvelyne, and how they don't really, you know, they're friends, the people that they can talk to about, hey, remember when, and all mm-hmm. the, you know, are just, you know, they're losing them,
mm-hmm.
and it's so hard.
Yeah.
I just, it really, you know, touched mm-hmm. me that, but they still have this to do, and staying active and social, you know, keeps them young, even though they don't meet that often. But
I've often thought that about original founding members
mm-hmm.
of clubs, and as they start to pass on, I would think that, you know, also the people who started something,
mm-hmm.
as they move on, that's gotta be so hard for the people left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The little gift bags, or the bags that you said you guys put together for
Reagan.
Mm-hmm. For the troubled kids. Kind of what kind of things were in there?
Okay, these are kids that come from. I mean, you can imagine
mm-hmm.
they. You have victims of rape and incest,
mm-hmm.
you have kids that just don't have food, you know, they're just,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, they're identified in the abuse, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have really basic needs, you know, and one of the concerns is that when they, I'm sorry, I don't know why I'm so emotional today, when they let out for Christmas break, you know, sometimes the food that they get at school is the only hot meal they're getting,
mm-hmm.
you know, so toiletries, you know, some fun things. We had St. Andrew's Church brought over $330 of gift cards that they had collected for, you know, various things, bookstores, Kroger,
mm-hmm.
iTunes, all, you name it. And so they got a gift card. Every kid got $15, I think is how it worked out with all the donations. And then they got, gosh, what else was in there? Little toiletry bags, shampoo. We had tables of mittens, caps, and little fun stuff, sports balls for the boys. There were about 20 boys and 60 girls.
Oh, wow.
And those were just the ones that they, you know, knew were going to the Christmas party.
Mm-hmm.
But it was great that two of the ladies who run the program at the school came and talked to us a little bit about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were, you know, Melvelyne, some other ladies and I wrote some cards to put in their
mm-hmm.
little bags.
Mm-hmm.
So they were, I mean, it was a lot of stuff.
Good.
Gum and mm-hmm. snack bars and things. You know, they had a list of stuff that they wanted.
Good. That's
but
good.
It wasn't, you know, there was nothing extravagant.
Oh,
you know, it was basically just a little, you know,
but that helped you get over the hump.
Yep,
and that still means so much.
Mm-hmm.
To them.
Mm-hmm. They had some fun things, some lip glosses, and
mm-hmm.
some. Viola had been online with some other group she was involved in, and somebody just mailed her a box of samples from their makeup,
mm-hmm.
whatever that they did. I mean, it's crazy how people just, the generosity that
mm-hmm.
just kind of pours out, you know, when you just ask and it happens. It's very, makes you feel really good about the community. And
absolutely. But you said that you've lived in Montrose and other neighborhoods. Do you find that the Heights is a more close-knit community, or does it tend to more be a Houston trait?
You know, I think Houston is Houston's a great city. Montrose is, I think, I didn't live in a real residential, I was in a residential area, but not on a residential street. I was
mm-hmm.
on Dunleavy, so I knew the people that lived in my apartment. It was an old house that was converted into 5 apartments, and we were all really close,
mm-hmm.
except for the crazy guy that lived in the back. We didn't know him. But
and
I'm still friends with those people now. You know, it was the good times. It was
mm-hmm.
you know, in my 20s and all of that fun stuff. But yeah, the Heights is just, it's a different sort of, you know, when Ike came through, did you live in the neighborhood during that time?
I lived in the Montrose area.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it was in Montrose, but it was, you know, we didn't have electricity
mm-hmm.
for 2 weeks
mm.
in a lot of the places. We did, ours came back on
mm-hmm.
In less than 24 hours. So all our friends were doing their laundry at our house, and, you know, but everybody was sitting out on their porch, and you just didn't have anything else to do because there was no electricity, and, you know, cell phone signals were sketchy, and it was a really nice feeling, and, like, life in the Heights, I was saying, you sort of get that same kind of community feeling, and we do know our neighbors, and we're not, you know, I know people that are, you know, best buds with their neighbors and stuff. We have, we do know everybody around us, and, you know, I know if I asked anybody for help, they would jump in and
mm-hmm.
and help out. And
absolutely.
I don't remember feeling that way in Montrose, but I don't really remember asking anybody anything. You know, and once you have kids, I mean, you'll talk to anybody, I swear. You're just so bored for
right.
human contact. I really have a totally different personality than I did before I had kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go to the park and just talk to anybody that looked like they were. They might have something
really
interesting to say. Have you talked to any adults lately? Going on out there.
In the community, in the Heights area, I've been finding, as I'm, you know, mentioning that I'm writing this to people, some people know what the Heights Women's Club is. Most don't.
Mm-hmm.
Do you attribute that to anything?
I think mainly I attribute it to the fact that it was sort of the population was dwindling in the club itself, and that a lot of, you know, there was sort of the urban flight back in whenever the 80s or whatever, and a lot of the little ladies that come to the Heritage Group don't even live in the Heights anymore.
Mm.
They left to go to the suburbs like everyone else.
Many people did.
So now you find, like, the evening group, it's all Heights people.
Mm.
You know, it's people that find out about this little treasure and, you know, the history. Once you learn the history of it, you think, you know, if you care at all about your neighborhood, which most of us do,
mm-hmm.
We live here because it feels like a neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, you're not 20 yards from your closest neighbor, so sometimes it's a good thing, sometimes it's not a good thing, but so I think that was the main issue. Mm-hmm. And now that especially with you know, sort of partnering with the Hype Kids group on this one project, we had Santa at the clubhouse, where we also invited a lot of the families mm-hmm. in the area, because you know Hype is really heavy on families these mm-hmm. days. It's you know, for a long time it wasn't that way, but so I think as the demographics change of the club, everyone sort of, you know, brings on more and more people. Beulah has been you know, amazing in getting the word out. She'll yeah, post everything on her blog, mm-hmm. and we have a Facebook page the Women's Club does.
Mm-hmm. I think it was about a year ago, maybe. I'm not exactly sure when she joined, but I still remember her posting something on her Facebook page saying, oh, I finally went and attended my first high school Women's Club event, and it was wonderful. I can't believe I haven't been a member. Yeah, I still remember seeing her post that.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you get, gosh, 140 of us have never been in the same room together at one time. But, you know, even at a general, you get 30 women
mm-hmm.
together. And it's not going to be smooth as as silk. But you still, like my husband laughs at me all the time. Be complaining about this or that, and I have to, you know, I'm on board meetings each month, mm-hmm. and you know, I'm much more heavily involved mm-hmm. than the general member. But I don't know why you want to do that if it's just going to cause you stress. Because I like it. Why do you want to be around them? I like it.
Yeah, you want to. I completely understand. So kind of moving forward, obviously you said you guys are working on the 401c3 mm-hmm. nonprofit status, wanting to do more, obviously with the library as well. Any other community kind of focused things that you're working on?
Right now, I don't know if the Sisters in Stitches are doing anything specific. We've done, they've done pillowcases for women's shelters. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we're getting ready to do something with Star of Hope, I think has been the next. I tend to try and steer them in the direction of women-centric activities. I just mm-hmm. think it's a better fit for us,
mm-hmm.
And especially getting, no one is going to argue that Star of Hope is not a wonderful organization.
Absolutely.
But like I said, we've done like the toiletry bags and things mm-hmm. for you know, battered women's shelters and mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Just, you know, but trying to stay more in the community. I think Star of Hope is in Montrose, isn't it?
It's just outside of Minute Maid in downtown.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. close, mm-hmm. kind of the eastern side of the height. Getting there.
Yeah.
How much does the club still look at history? I mean, it is the history of, you know, the founding mothers and that kind of thing, is that really paid much attention right now, or is a lot of everything kind of moving forward?
This year we've, mm-hmm. you know, just kicked history to death, I think. But, we had the centennial celebration that we did in September was sort of the last hoorah. We did a champagne toast here on Saturday night in September. And we invited past presidents to come and honored them with the Marechal Rose is the club flower. Mm. So someone found pens with the yellow rose on it. And, so yeah, we you know, definitely the history, and then the Hortense Ward award. Yes, that is right. You know, every year we put a big emphasis on that because it just goes to the root of whatever everything the club stands for. I think is empowering women and standing up for each other. You know, being there for each other.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the club flower. Is there a motto or any other of those kinds of things?
Oh gosh, yes, we have. I think now. Look, I did join the Heritage Group also. They have. They do a lot more historical stuff than we do, and probably because like a lot of them can remember these people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so this is something that. We'll recite at our general meetings, but this is not specific to Houston Heights Women's Club, as Anne will stand up and say every time we do it. it is a club collect. It was written in for all women's clubs, sort of in the United States. This credited to this lady
right here,
And you recite that before each meeting? Both
now, the Heritage Group does it at every meeting.
We do it at just our general meetings. And I've made them do that this year. I don't think they... so we have laminated copies back there to pass out. And like I said, this is the day group. It's got some good information in here. But I know there's other... Okay, the club colors are blue and gold, and this flower is the Marechal Neal rose.
And I'm not familiar with that. What's another horticulture?
It's not a native to Houston or anything. It was just one of the, you know, one of their original groups was, I think, a little garden group. So that's probably, you know, back in the day, that's what ladies did was try to grow roses, even in this completely inhospitable for roses environment.
And people still do.
I don't even bother in my yard, but
I know that Mrs. McKinney, at her home, they had a rose garden. Her kind of the side yard was called the Rose Lawn. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So I'm curious. I'm gonna have to look into that.
Yeah.
Maybe that was one that she liked.
Yeah, so you're welcome to look at this. They even have their, they're much more organized than we are. We're at a meeting, like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, okay, who's going to do it? I don't know.
Well, they've been doing it for a while. Okay.
They're more of the rule followers. We're more of the fly by the seat of our pants.
Get together and have a good time. And now the witches' luncheon, is that
correct?
Is that both groups together?
No, that's the evening group. Anything where drinking is involved is going to be the evening group. We had some, one lady, a dissenter group, say, well, maybe we should just have three groups. I don't want us to hang a disco ball in the middle of And this is Beulah's, she'll tell you, her favorite moment, because she and this other lady, who shall remain nameless, Anne, and Beulah says, this is my favorite club moment ever, and he said, no, I don't think that's going to happen. There won't be a third group.
That's great. You can open it up late at night, or cover at the door.
Why not?
This is great. I love they had a, they're having a hugging contest coming up. That's cute. A hugging contest on the
board.
Very cute.
What does that involve?
I don't know.
I don't know if I'll be able to make that meeting.
Yeah, more details are not given. So do you, I know I keep going back to the history side, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Do you by chance have a favorite, you call them founding mothers, is that right? Or just founders?
The founders of the club.
You know, past presidents or anything. Somebody had mentioned to me founding mothers, and I didn't know if that was kind of a term y'all use.
I haven't heard mother, but founding members, we do definitely, somebody knows who they are. I know that, of course, it was Cooley, and we don't have any of that information. Well, we may. I'll put something in here. A brief history. Probably not accurate.
It's a great little book, though. I mean, that's, we keep everyone informed. And
Well, like I said, ours is not as, we just have a brief history and then names and phone numbers. So
but you guys are going to be on Facebook and emails and all that kind of thing, whereas would imagine the Heritage Group.
They still do like a phone tree. Like, I got the call last week when Neva Dupuy died that, you know, I was on somebody's list to call them. Which is awesome, you know, but I'm like, when do you have the time for that?
Right.
I don't even
when you can.
No. No.
What is your favorite activity that you have done so far?
I would have to. I love the Witches Luncheon. We've done it for 4 years now, and it's a kick in the pants. It's a lot of fun.
And everyone dresses up.
Oh yes, I mean you, and people will come every now and then that don't have a hat on or. And you feel silly. Because I kept telling my friend Heather was going last year, and I said, you need to get a hat. She showed up in blue jeans. She said, I felt like an asshole. And I said, well, I told you.
You'll come dressed up with a hat.
Exactly. But that's a lot of fun. And just kind of, it's sort of empowering, I guess, and see all of the, a room full of women with witch hats on, and we have still, you know, contests for best hat, and but mostly it's just a get together lunch and wine, of course. But the porch party was really fun. It was a lot of fun.
Good.
Enjoyed that a lot. We didn't do that here either. The witches luncheon is always off site.
Oh, okay. I did not realize that.
Yes, we did it at Stella Sola for a couple of years. The first one was, where did Trudy do the first one? I think it was there. I can't remember now. It was when it was Bedford, though. And then it was Stella Sola for 2 years. And then Chris Bistro this year.
Yep.
But the porch party we did, you know, we had four different porch hostesses, and then people helped them make, prepare food and everything, and, you know, go from house to house. That was a lot of fun.
That would be a lot of fun. So you said you told your husband, when he said, why do you do it with the stress? And you said you love it. What do you love about it?
I don't know exactly. You know, when I first met Melvin, you know, I just lost my grandmother. And I'm from a small town, and so I enjoy being around women and talking and just because that's how I grew up, you know. We'd just go sit at somebody's house and just sit and talk and talk and talk. And that's, I guess I'm just kind of social. So it's a lot of fun to me. And then I love to entertain and do
have fun parties and things like that. It's a great space. And, and you know, one of the things we try to remind people, members all the time, is if you can conceive it, you can have it here. It, as long as you invite every member in the club, evening group, you can do whatever you want for free. Well, your expense for whatever the party is, but people always step up. I mean, it's usually the same dozen or so people that help out, just like in any other volunteer organization. But we're working on that. You know, we're starting to get a little more aggressive, calling people and asking them if they'd be willing to. So that's 9 times out of 10, if you ask, people aren't going to say no, or they do say no, and then that's fine. You just move on down the list. But we need to get better at that. But I don't know. I just, I love Melvaline. I love Anne. I've enjoyed learning more about the neighborhood and, you know, just kind of felt like home when I was here. Good. Do you have any, anything else you wanted to mention or? I don't know. I mean, I guess, like I said, in the at the centennial event, you know, I hope that the difference that we're making now, or the work that we're doing now, helps the club stand another 100 years. You know, and there'll be some 40-year-olds sitting around saying, who's this person? What is her picture doing up there on the wall? Who is that? Can't we move that for the party? Poor Miss Cooley. I can never remember who she is either. I always think it's Hortense Ward, because that's the only name we ever hear, really. But no, she's even less attractive than Miss Cooley. As you can imagine, one of the first women lawyers in Texas to be.
Had to have been a pretty hearty woman.
I think she even got divorced and remarried. She was scandalous.
Yeah, that's big. Well, I'm fighting for, you know, suffrage and all that. You weren't going to be the most popular person by pushing for those things.
True.
Yep. I thought I was going to ask one last thing off of that. I agree. I think it's interesting that so much has gotten the club to this point, and now it's on those of you who are the leaders to take it to the next, you know, the next amount of time.
Yeah. And after this year, I'm going to take a break.
And someone else gets to lead.
I hope so. And, you know, it's hard to let go. And I'll sit on the board as past president for the next year. And I'll always, as long as I'm a member, I'll be involved, because whenever they ask me to do anything, I always say yes. But it's a labor of love. And, but it's also rewarding. I can't really explain why. I'm not sure. I just the feeling of community and good.